Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, many people today say things like, all religions are really essentially the same. And when they say such things, they intend to include the Christian faith. They equate the Christian faith with all other religions, whether Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu. They equate the basic teachings and philosophies of all religions, ancient or modern, to simply all be the same. And what they really want to say is they're all made up, invented from the human mind, the human being. The belief in a god or gods is essentially just a crutch made up by human beings to get you through this life. Now, in one sense, they're correct. All religions have one common thread, if you study them. They all have laws. But the moral law, found in the Ten Commandments, for example, these are not man-made laws. They're natural laws given by God to all humans. All humans, no matter what religion or non-religion you say you are, all humans live by a moral code. They all have a conscience. For example, if you put, I use this example in Bible class, a three-year-old Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Lutheran, LCMS Lutheran, ELCA Lutheran, Catholic, Roman Catholic, Irish Catholic, and atheist kids, sit them in the front pew and ask them all, is it okay to disobey your parents? They'll all say, no. Is it okay to steal? They'll all say, no. Is it okay to hurt somebody, to throw a rock at somebody, even if they're mean to you? And they would all say, no. And if you put a group of people out in the wilderness who've never been taught religion at all, they would all have a conscience. They all would be governed by a conscience. Because all humans live by natural moral law. Whether they want to admit it or not, it's true. But today, I'd like to point out that while all religions and all philosophies and all non-religious people live by a moral natural law, all religions, all faiths are not the same. I'd like to meditate today for a moment on how the Christian faith and how the God we believe and trust in is nothing like any other faith, nor like any other God worshipped in the history of the world. And I would like to do so by pointing you to the power of His creative and loving Word. Because no other religion, no other philosophy in the history of the world has a Word that's so powerful, so loving, and that's the key, powerful and loving as found in the Word of our God. If we start at the beginning, we see how God created all things by His Word. He spoke and things happened. And He spoke out of nothing. He didn't like start taking stuff that existed. Just He spoke and created all things by His Word out of nothing. Now historians and anthropologists and sociologists and philosophers, they'll all tell you that this is just one of same many creation accounts from the ancient world. They're all the same. But that's not true. There is no creation account, none, like this one, where a God like our God created all things out of nothing, simply by speaking His Word. There is no other creation account in the history of the world where a God like our God created because He loved. That's why God created. He's an artist who created out of love by His Word. That's why He created. Our God did not create out of stuff, out of chaos, out of evil. He did not create evil. He's not the author of evil. He did not design death. He did not create out of necessity. He didn't have to do it. He did not create His creation, us human beings, simply to satisfy His desires for food or to be entertained by us slaves. He did not create us so we could serve Him with lewd acts, as other creation accounts show their gods to do. Our God created us and His entire creation because He loves life. There's no creation account like it in the history of the world. He is the master artist. He's an all-powerful creator. And He created everything with an intentional design, an intentional purpose. No other creation account has it one like it. God spoke, let there be lights, and guess what? There was light. God spoke, let there be dry ground to separate from the water, and there was dry ground. God said, let there be a sky, an expanse to separate from the dry ground and the water, and there was an expanse. He created three places. And then He spoke and started filling the places. Let there be a sun to govern the day and a moon to govern the night, stars everywhere. And it happened. Let there be trees and bushes and plants to thrive and to seed seeds so they continue to thrive and create life. And it happened. And then He decided to sculpt living beings, animals first. And then the crown of His creation, He's sitting there perhaps on His knees and He's playing in the mud, building a sandcastle at first perhaps. And then He decides to build something that has arms and a nose, and it's a man. Because it comes from the dust of the ground, that's where He gets His name. And He breathes the breath of life into him, and he is alive. And He says it's not good for the man to be alone, so He builds a woman, forms a woman from the man. And He puts him in the garden, and His creation was perfect as He was and is and always will be. And all of His creation thrived, and it was perfect. And everything had a purpose. And everyone knew their purpose, to love and to serve each other. And so this God, our God's word, was not, is not, a word like any other God's word in the ancient or modern world. It's not like your word or my word. This word, God's true word, was and is a being. A being that when He was spoken, He did stuff. He created. He created lights and life. He sustained life. You see, this word then showed love in the most incredible way. This word became flesh, our human flesh, and He dwelled among us. That's what John says. And that's where no religion or philosophy has a faith or a God like ours. Because the Word became flesh. You can't find that anywhere else. In the beginning, John writes, was the Word. And the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And nothing that has been made was not made except through this Word. And then the Word became flesh and dwelled among humanity. This Word is none other than Jesus Himself, the promised Son of God, the promised Messiah, who is to come into the world, into our flesh, not just to communicate information, not just to communicate philosophies and rules, but to do stuff. And what did this Jesus, this Word in the flesh, do? He came to heal. He came to make alive the once perfect creation that He created that was now shattered into not a couple pieces, but innumerable pieces. Shattered into shards. A creation that was made sick. A creation that was now subject to death by human choice, human decision, human evil. He was now in human flesh, coming to put it back together. He came into our flesh to set right that was made wrong by your and my sin. The Word of God became flesh and spoke. And when it spoke, things happened. Come and follow me, He said to some fishermen, to some sinners, an outcast, the lowly of stature. And guess what they did? They followed Him. He spoke that to the rich too and to the prestigious religious leaders, but they didn't follow Him. And there's a reason for that. But He spoke to the lowly and the outcast, and they followed Him, and they were blown away by what they saw. When this Jesus, this Word in the flesh spoke, they saw with their own eyes that His words did stuff. Get up and walk, He said to the lame man. And the guy got up and he walked. Come out of him, He said to the man who was had a legion of demons inside of him. And they came out. And the man went back to his normal state of sanity. Be quiet, Jesus said to the winds and the waves. And the disciples were amazed and even scared and terrified. Who is this? Even the waves and the winds obey His voice. Be cleansed, Jesus said to the lepers. And they were cleansed immediately. Arise, Jesus spoke to the dead girl and to Lazarus. And they were made alive. The dead came alive. And the greatest thing of all, He said this to a number of people, but to the man who couldn't walk, He first said, your sins are forgiven. And they were forgiven. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees and religious leaders even said, who is this guy who speaks, your sins are forgiven? Only God can say that. Exactly. Just as creation needed this word to be spoken in order to become alive and come into existence, just as people walking in the darkness of the Old Testament in the times of Abraham and Moses and David and Daniel, just as they needed the word to live in those days, just as the lepers and the crippled and the prostitutes and the tax collectors and all the sinners back in the New Testament day, those ordinary fishermen, just as they needed the word in order to have life and hope in this dark and broken and shattered world, we need this word too. We need it just as much as they did. This word, this Jesus, does not just come and communicate information to us. He does not just tell us nice tales and stories with pithy meetings. He does not just give us a moral code to live by. He does not just give us a new philosophy to live by. He's not just some other way among many ways, or some other truth among many truths, or some God among many gods. This Word of God, this Jesus, is like no other. Because when He speaks, He does stuff. Incredible stuff. And that is why He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. And He gives Himself, His Word, to us, into our bodies, into our minds, into our souls. And you and I and our loved ones, we need this Word more than any word in the world. We need this way. We need this truth. We need this life. We need this resurrection. Because our bodies, because our lives and our world, it's riddled with sin and sorrow and death and destruction. And the world is so noisy right now. It wants to speak. Everybody wants to speak and say something. But nobody wants to listen. And the problem is the world is filled with confusion and consternation. And it's ruled by death. We've had too many funerals in this church. You've been to too many funerals in your life already. And I know that you don't want to go to more. And I know that it doesn't matter what religion you would say you or your neighbors are, nobody wants to go to another funeral. And that's why we need this word. And that's why the world needs this word. Because we need Jesus in order to have life and the hope of life. Because only He can come to the broken and truly bring healing. Only He can come to the truly sick and make them truly well again. Only He can come to the unclean and speak and make them clean. Only He can come to those who are sinners and say you're forgiven, and they are truly forgiven. Not just their sins, but their sinful natures. Only He can, by His word, create life and bring back the dead to life. Yes, you and I, we need this word. We need this Jesus to have life. Because only this Jesus, only this Word of God, in the whole history of the world became flesh. This Word of God spoke life into His world by His life. Only this Word of God became an object of scorn and torture and spoke. He spoke words, Father, forgive them. Not destroy them, but forgive them. He spoke, it is finished. And by those words, forgiveness was won and power over death and the devil was won. They're finished. No other God spoke these words. Go and look at the ancient writings. You can't find a God who says stuff like that. And if they would have, it wouldn't have mattered. Because no other God in history became flesh and lived a perfect life and died specifically and sacrificially for you and for me and for the whole world. Only this God, only His Word actually does stuff. It does what it says when He speaks. And so it's with great comfort, great hope, and great joy that you and I get to come here every week and hear the Word of God, the Word of Jesus speak into our lives. That's why our service is designed the way it is. It's why we gather. We don't come here to buy off our God with money or our praise or our good intentions or our vows, because nothing we can give Him matters. It's all rubbish to Him. He owns everything. Why do we gather? We gather each week. We set our clocks ahead. We get up. We come here to receive life. Life from this Word of God, from Jesus. It's with great comfort and peace that we get to come with our families and know that He's promised where two or more gathered in His name, He is here. Whether you see Him or not, whether you feel Him or not, He's here. We get to open in the words in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter how good or how bad our life is, it doesn't matter. We know that we are His children in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit through baptism. For it's not the water, but it's this name, it's this Word that brought us to life. And it's with great joy and comfort that we come and can confess our sins and be honest with the Creator of all things. With all of our sins, whether we say them out loud or not, and not just our sins, but our sinful nature. He even knows what we're going to do before we confess it. We can be honest with Him, and we hear the words, your sins are forgiven, and we have to have no doubt whether that's true, because He paid for it on the cross. And by His command to His disciples at the resurrection, He said, go and forgive sins. And as you forgive the sins, they are forgiven as if I myself am forgiving them. It's with great peace that we get to come here today and hear from His called, inspired apostles that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And even though that we were born and walked in our sins and we were dead in those sins, as St. Paul says in the epistle lesson, God has made us alive by Christ, by the Word that became flesh. Because He's gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And it's with great joy that we get to experience this love of the Father through His Word, through Jesus, so that we can thank and praise and feel joy with abundant hearts, no matter what's going on in our life, whether the stock market goes up or whether it goes down, whether the workday is great or not so great, whether I got an F or an A, or I hit a home run, or struck out, or whether I got good health or bad health, essentially, all that doesn't matter when you have a God like this. Because this God, there is no other God like Him. There is no other Word besides His Word that creates and brings back to life and promises all the things it promises. That's why we gather. As the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so I have loved you. Now abide in my words, Jesus said, and you will bear much fruit. Abide in my love. These things I have spoken, Jesus said, that you may have joy, and that your joy in me may be complete. In Jesus' name. Amen.